setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Here we go, coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You are joining a conversation about who you are, what you do well, what you love to do, results that matter deeply to you. Then we're going to look at what you were created to do, work that you look forward to it to the point that you can't stop thinking about it. When you're in the middle of it, you've got the juice. Then where can I do that work? What are all the different ways and places that I can do that work? And then finally, how do I get there? I mean, this is, everybody wants to know, what am I supposed to do with my life? And sometimes that mountain seems undiscoverable. Sometimes when we know what it is, it seems unclimbable. And so if you have no idea what you want to do with your life, you're in the right place. If you know what you want to do, but you don't know how to get there, you're in the right place. If you know what you want to do, you know how to get there, but money's holding you back, fear's holding you back, doubt, pride, maybe some family members. Ooh, we'll take that on too. You're in the right place. Because you were created to fill a unique role, that means you are valuable, you are needed, and there's a responsibility for you to do it. Somebody out there needs you to show up today, tomorrow, the next week, the next month, the next year, to show up and be the best version of you. They need you. So this isn't about you. Purpose has very little to do with you. It has a lot to do with your contribution. So we believe you were created to work. In other words, created to contribute. And so we're here to help you do that. It is a caller-driven show. Free call. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. Now, I talk a lot on this show about the power of relationships. I talk about it so much that in 2019, we released a book that became a number one bestseller called The Proximity Principle, which says in order to do what you want to do, you got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. So the formula for that principle is simple. The right people plus the right place equals opportunity. So I've talked a lot, and I won't ever stop talking about the power of relationships. Relationships, connections are the currency for progress. So I saw this article, Madison the producer, this is a good find, I got to brag on you. She put this in the old inbox, and I really, really, really am excited about this. Brand new book out called Friends, Understanding the Power of Our Most Important Relationships, written by a 73-year-old behavioral psychologist from Britain. So this is really fascinating. Robin Dunbar is his name. And this is fascinating, and I think I kind of agree with him. We're going to break it down, and I'm going to apply it to you. So basically, he's done all this research, and he has determined that 150 people, that's the number, 150 friends is the magic number for success. 150 people. Now, here's what's funny about this. For those of you that listen to the program for a while, you've heard several callers, and I feel like one of these a week. Some of you call in and they'll go, "Hey, Ken, I know what I want to do, but the problem is I don't know anybody." And I get the proximity principle, but I live in, you know, nowhere USA, and there's only 40 people in my town. Okay, we've heard these calls many times, Joe, and I say the same thing to them every time. I play along, and then I say, "How many people do you think you know?" Now, we're going to go above friends here for a second, just to illustrate this point. They'll say to me, 150, 200 people total that they know. Then I say, "Well, how many people do those 150 or 200 people know?" And they'll say, "Well, probably the same amount." And I go, And then they start to laugh because they realize that I've painted them into a corner. And they say, "Oh, I only know 40 people." And then they realize it's probably 150 or 200, and then they know more. And so it's not about just who we know. It's about who they know. Now, that's what I preach, and I believe that. But now this is on friendship, okay? And so I think it's fascinating that Dunbar has done all this research, and he says 150 friends, That's the magic number. And he studied, by the way, factories, small villages, military units, where everybody knew each other's names and skills, okay? So then he goes on in this book, and he's got tiers of friends. And I'm going to add a category. Why not? Number one is intimate friends. He says basically you need five intimate friends, no more than that. Incidentally, he describes these intimate friends, Joe, as people who would donate a kidney to you.
Nice.
Yeah, well, this is the moment of truth, Joe. Would you donate a kidney to me?
Yeah, sure.
There was a little bit of a pause there. So we'll discuss that off air, Joe. I'm very disappointed. Supportive friends is the next tier, 12 to 15 people. And the way he defines these people is they would be distraught if you died. Joe, you would be distraught if I died.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. You're in the supportive friend tier as of right now. We'll see if you move back into the intimate friend tier. Good friends, you need about 50 of these. These are people that would be invited to your birthday party, but not a dinner party. I found that to be kind of funny, right? It's kind of like, I'm going to invite you to celebrate me, but I'm not going to invite you to like actually hang with me. You know, because like the dinner party is intimate. Like you're eating together. It's not a big group. So I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah. I would like you to bring me something and celebrate my existence, but I don't want to have you over for dinner. Fascinating. And then next, regular friends, 150 of these. You meet these at weddings and school reunions. So he's got all these different tiers here, but 150 is kind of his number. He's like, this is a really good number. Now, this research, it's not really applied to the kind of work that I do, but basically it's on the idea that we only have a certain amount of emotional capital to give. And he's right about that. In other words, we only have so much energy to invest in other people. And so that's why he says the majority of people have the same amount of friends. Now, his last tier, regular friends, people you meet at wedding and school reunions, I think he's essentially calling them what I would call acquaintances. And I have shown you lots of research on this show, principally by Mark Granovetter, who's a renowned sociologist who has proven that most people get their jobs through acquaintances. And so I'm a big believer in acquaintances. But I will also tell you that I think this is a fascinating book, and you ought to be paying attention to this because we know from Harvard research that 95% of your success or failure in life is predicated, totally built on the people you spend the most time with. So I always make people uncomfortable with this, but if you're not happy with where you are in your life, you've got to ask yourself the question, who do I spend the most amount of time with? So folks, you need to be around people that lift you. When you need to be lifted, you need to be around people that push you by their very pace. And you need to be around people that hold you accountable. So I think it's a fascinating study. Maybe later in the program for a little fun here, I'll ask you guys, I'll put you on the spot. This is a little extra bonus content in the book that I thought might be fun. What's the perfect amount of people to invite to a dinner party? Think about that. Maybe we'll discuss that at the beginning of the next segment. Don't move. Your call's coming up next. This is the Ken Coleman Show. If you're considering a career in technology, I recommend Bethel Tech, and I'm not alone. Brendan said, before Bethel Tech, I was driving Uber. Within 4 months of graduating, I got a job paying $60,000. About 2 years after that, I got a remote job that pays $130,000, all thanks to what I learned at Bethel Tech. This is what I want for you folks. Get started today at BethelTech.net and get $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you make your dreams come true. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. And, you know, it's so exciting when we have people call in and they've stepped into the dream job. So just a quick review, if you're new to the program, we have seven stages Think of it as seven stages up to your professional pinnacle up the mountain. And stage one is get clear. Stage two is get qualified. Stage three, get connected. Stage four, get started. Stage five, get promoted. Stage six, you step into the dream job. And when you get into the dream job, think about this. You've been looking up the whole way. And now you get into the dream job and you're at the top of the mountain. And now you begin to expand the vision. And it gives me great joy to know that Sean is on the line in Kansas City, Missouri. And this is what we call our dream screen, where somebody has done the work and then they step into their dream job and they call in and share their story. And you get to hear from them, put yourselves in their shoes, and celebrate with them. So let's do it. Sean is on the line. Sean, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. It's great to talk to you, and thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I couldn't be more excited. This is why we do it for Dream Screams right here. So let's walk through this. What role were you in previously?
Yeah, so for the last 8 years, I've been working as an electronics technician in a large consumer electronics company. It's a great company, and it's where I wanted to be. But over the last 5 years, I've discovered it's probably not what I want to be doing forever. So, the technician role is an entry-level job, you know, in a large corporation of about 16,000 people.
Wow.
So that's what I've been doing for the last 8 years.
So you moved, you stayed in the same company, but moved into the dream role within the same company. What's the dream role? What are you doing now?
Yeah. So 4 weeks ago, I started working as a project manager on our strategic initiatives team. And specifically, I'm in charge of one project, and that's where I get to head up a new initiative that is dedicated to capturing and passing on the values and principles that make up our company's culture. So as the company continues to grow, our leaders want to ensure that our culture remains intact. And my mission is to cultivate a culture that attracts like-valued people who are working in their sweet spot so they can spend their life doing work that matters, tapping into their full potential, and experiencing fulfillment along the way.
Okay, I got to tell
you. This role was created specifically for me, so it's a perfect fit.
That's so great. I got goosebumps. I'm not kidding you. Right now, I have a ripple of goosebumps going down my spine. That's incredible, Sean. Well, that's so good. How does that feel? Tell people how it feels to walk into that job every day.
It's one of those, it's a pinch myself kind of moment, for sure. I mean, every day, I know people like to say that if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I have to disagree.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
If you do something you love, you will work harder than you have ever worked
before.
Because you know it matters.
Come on, Sean. I got to believe Sean could possibly, fill in for me one day. After he shared that little purpose statement with us, I thought, man, he could be a guest host of the Ken Coleman Show. You have really, really, really encapsulated what this whole journey is about. Man, I'm so proud of you.
I don't think that that's a coincidence. I mean, the work that you've been doing for the last several years has been a big part of my journey. So I've definitely learned a lot from you along the way.
What changed? What caused you to go, I'm going to get after this. I'm not going to just do a J-O-B. What was behind all of this?
Yeah, so that was about 5 years ago. I kind of turned a corner in my life and realized that I was spending my free time, I was investing in leisure. And I realized that's kind of a waste of time. And so I turned a corner and started investing my free time in personal growth, learning, developing, helping others grow. And man, it unlocked something for me. I mean, I just got lit on fire.
Yeah, you can tell. You can tell.
And so that created this journey for me where I just became really hungry to find anything I could get my hands on that would help me grow.
Give me one example. Give us one example, one of your favorite things that you began to invest in, and the return on investment was huge.
Yeah. So, I mean, right in the beginning of this, I was listening to the Entree Leadership podcast. I mean, I was just eating that up. You were the host of that. And I heard you interview Kelly Leonard talking about the yes and
yeah, from
mindset.
Second City in Chicago, one of the great improv.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah,
that
right.
interview, yeah.
And so I heard that and I thought, man, I got to get somewhere where I can practice this. And so I was talking to a friend of mine at work, a dear friend of mine, and we were kind of talking about our team's culture. And, you know, we often run into this no but mindset.
Yeah. Oh, drives me crazy.
And so, yeah, we were just talking about like our frustration with it. And I decided, and this has been huge for me at that moment, I wasn't going to be someone who just sat around and complained about the way things are. I was going to do something to have a positive impact.
Oh, that's so good.
And so we started a club. We called it the Good Ideas Club.
Oh.
We invited other like-valued people to meet with us over lunch.
Oh, I
and
love
that,
that.
One of the first things that we did in that club was we yes-anded a terrible idea. I wrote an intentionally terrible product idea.
Oh, you are a glutton for punishment. That's funny.
Yes.
Here's the worst idea in the history of the world, but let's yes and this. Let me do a quick commercial to get back to your story. For what Sean's talking about, I want everybody to get this is a great book called Yes and Kelly Leonard is one of the great comic minds in our country. And Second City is a world-class comedy group and club out of Chicago, and the improv world is what we can learn from comedians like a Kelly Leonard. It's innumerable the amount of things we can learn. And so that was an interview we did. You could probably still find it on the Entree Leadership podcast, but that's what Sean's talking about. All right, Sean, we got about 2 minutes. I want to get to your screen, but I want you to coach some people up. I think of all the people who've done a dream scream on this show, you're ready to coach people. I want you to talk to people who aren't there yet. They don't go into work in their sweet spot. They don't feel that juice. And maybe they feel like it's too far away. What would you say to them?
Yeah, so I got four things.
Oh, my
Number
gosh,
one,
he's got four things.
Here we go. Buckle up.
Got to be quick.
Figure out what you can control and start working on that today.
Love that.
5 years ago, I did not have the qualifications to be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I figured out what I could control and started learning and growing.
Number two.
Okay, number two, my journey was not easy.
Amen.
So I got shot down a lot.
Yeah.
I got proposals denied.
Yeah.
So there's been this like the tension of growth and my passion far exceeding my competency in the beginning.
Number three, we got to hurry, Sean, so you can scream.
Collaboration with others
is
always part of the win.
Yep.
So my faith helped me learn and grow. My wife helped me learn and grow. My mentors helped me learn and grow. And my like-valued colleagues helped me learn
number
and grow.
Four.
And number four, this was 5 years in the making. So that's 5 years of giving up almost every lunch break. So I could
get it.
Read, learn, grow,
I love
and
it.
Lead.
I want to remind everybody, it took me 9 years to step into this role. 9 years. It was worth every second of it. All right, Sean from Kansas City, Missouri. He went from entry level to the dream job. Sean, let's hear your dream scream.
3, 2, 1. I'm living the dream!
Yeah! And I'm doing my Will Ferrell dance, from Wedding Crashers. If you don't know what that is, it's a great, what do you call it, GIF or JIF? I never know. GIF? All right, there it is. Thank you, Madison, the producer. All right, folks, we're just getting started. Don't move. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show coming to you from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. 847-257-2577. Leah is up next in Miami, Florida. Leah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks to you and your team for taking my call today.
You bet. What's going on?
Yeah, so I have a great job, but it's not the right job for me. As you say, I've lost the juice.
Uh-oh.
Why? So great there.
Why have you lost the juice? Well, Give me the quick answer on that.
The quick answer is that my role has changed over the past few years. When I joined, it was more consultative, and now it's more sales-driven. I know my talents. I know the things that I enjoy doing, but yeah. I'm having a lot of trouble with the mission part of it, and I just feel like I'm knee-deep in analysis paralysis.
Great. Okay, that's really good news.
Okay, good.
Now, two things that you've said that we've got to remember as I walk you through some stuff. Number one, the reason you said you've lost the juice is the role has changed and you went from consultative to more of a sales role. So there's a real big clue there that you really love work that has a consultative, so I'm that guide, I'm giving some opinion, there's some analysis in there, and then after analysis, then we come up with, okay, this is what I think the solution is. Is that sounding right?
That's absolutely right, yeah.
Okay, good, absolutely right. All right, now, and then we've got some analysis paralysis. So what we want to do is, when I talk to somebody that's got that, I want to know what we're analyzing. So let's set it up for the rest of the world listening in here. You're getting stuck on mission, which is the results that you want to contribute to the world in the marketplace. So there are three questions that we go through to unlock somebody. Okay, the first question is, who are the people I most want to help? So right now, I'm stalling for you as I teach everybody else, Leah, because there are some names, there are some, ideas and visuals that are just popping in your head. I want you to remember those right now. Who are the people I most want to help? Then the next question is a layer deeper. What is the problem that they have or desire that they have that I want to solve? Okay, and then the third level deeper is, what are the solutions or solution to that problem or to that desire that I want to be a part of? All right? You tracking with me?
Yeah, I'm tracking.
You got some ideas, don't you, Leah?
I do.
All right, so I want you to give them to me. How many do you have?
So I have, like you said, ideas, but maybe not like granular specific.
Whoa, stop. That's my job.
Okay, good.
Let me do me and you do you. All right, so my job is to find the clues and put it together. I want you to give me these ideas. How many do you have? Spit it out. How many? Give me a number.
I have like maybe two.
Oh, this is great. Give me one right now. Tell me.
Okay, so I would love to do something that involves like fixing broken systems.
That's good. Hold on. I got to keep up with you. Fixing broken systems. Okay. Let's go to number two. What's the number two idea?
The other one is possibly something like justice or equality related.
Okay. Go a little deeper. Forget job title or where it is. What does that mean? Justice and equality. You want to be a part of that. I know, but give me another descriptor. I want to say it.
Yeah, I think it's like helping people that maybe are marginalized in some way, whether it be they have a disability or because of their race or anything. I've been doing that now.
Okay, how do you do that? Is it advocating? Is it serving? Give me a little bit more. What would be, if you're going to do that tomorrow, I gave you a risk-free option and you knew you couldn't fail and you were going to go serve those that are marginalized using your word. Who would you start with? Who would be the group? Describe them.
Ooh, who would be the group?
Yeah, who is it? Same person that you thought about a moment ago when I said, who do you want to help? What problem do you want to solve? Come on. See, you can't be afraid to say it because you've already thought it. Say it.
Maybe like in the workplace.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense, like employees.
Sure it does. That's called HR.
Yeah.
I know.
But Okay.
I know. See, there's your problem. Okay. So this is fun. All right. So here's the deal. Fixing broken systems. Is that what you mean by that? Is you're driven by efficiency, driven by solution?
Efficiency, solutions, problem solving, like strategy, you know, the strategy is broken, like how do we fix it?
Oh gosh. Leah,
I love critical thinking.
I know you do. Do you know how I know that? For the first time on this phone call, you didn't pause. You didn't kind of limp through an answer. You just went. Did you notice that?
I did, yeah.
And let me tell you why. That's the answer to why you called today. You're going, Ken, I'm struggling with the mission piece. No, I'm going to tell you right now. When we talk about mission, we're talking about intrinsic motivation. Okay, those are big words. Let me just break that down. Intrinsic motivation means I do this because I want to. Extrinsic motivation is what we parents do. Do your homework or I take your phone. That's extrinsic motivation. I only do it so that I don't receive penalty, right? Okay. Or do this and you get to go to the ice cream shop. Okay. Same thing, extrinsic motivation. So I either do it for reward or I do it to avoid penalty. But intrinsic motivation is I do it because I want to. All right. And so you immediately were just like, oh man, Ken, when I touched that nerve of efficiency and solution, you were like, brrr, oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. All right. So what would you do tomorrow if you couldn't fail, Leah? Just say it. You want to, but you've been afraid to. Describe the work that you would do. You've already said it in a roundabout way. Now just say it. Go.
I mean, maybe like something in like diversity or HR related consulting, trying to put together some of the things I said, like a consultant.
There you go. So what you just combined were the type of work that you're good at, the type of work that you love, talent, passion, ding, 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 and then now mission. You want to create programs. You want to create accountability. You want to create, let's use your word, a system to protect and to promote others, right? So if this injustice has happened, I want to root it out, but I also want to prevent it from happening. And that's a system. And that's what gets you fired up. Am I right?
You're right.
Well, that was kind of fun, wasn't it? So here's your homework assignment. I want you to just start looking into the HR world, look into the consultant world. This is just research. Who's doing what you are doing? And I can promise you there are people that are doing what you want to do. And so you now just have to become truly aware. And it's almost like the good old-fashioned, you know, high school or college term paper where you become a kind of a short-term expert on everything you can about this particular type of work. And when you discover all the different ways you can do that work, whether you do it for yourself, whether you do it for somebody else, that may be a consultant agency or a consulting firm on these issues that specialize in these issues, or do you work just in a great corporate HR program where you can really plug into something like this and add value to it? I think that's what you're looking at. And so then you're totally clear, which is stage one. You're ready to step into stage two, which is get qualified. What do I need to learn and do? What do I need to learn and do? That's the education question and the experience question to be able to do this. How much is that going to cost me to get that qualification? That's the financial question, the economic question rather. And then finally, now that I know all of this, based on my financial reality and the time it's going to take to do this work, well, how long is it going to take? That's the expectation question. When you answer those four questions, now you got yourself a plan. Go, Leah, go. I'm proud of you. You got this. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville as we help men and women get clear so that they can confidently move forward and courageously stay on the path when life throws the uncertainties our way, because it will. That I can promise. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Fabian joins us next in Dallas, Texas. Fabian, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Coach Ken, how are you doing?
Oh, boy, I got excited about that. I need a whistle right now. When somebody calls me Coach Ken, they're really sucking up to me, because that's the weight of my heart, all right? I'm just going to tell you. I need the old gray bike shorts, Joe. You know, the ones that were, well, let's be honest, they were a little too short back in the 80s, and we're all glad those went away. You know what I mean? But a whistle and some gray bike shorts. I know, Madison. Madison just threw up in her mouth, but we understand. But all my coaches, that's what they wore. And the polo shirt. The polo shirt tucked into the gray bike shorts.
Yep.
All right, Fabian, that's something I'll never wear. But go ahead. What's your question?
Hey, yeah, I was just wanting to see how to deal with the, I guess, the feeling of you're going to get laid off. It's kind of an impending doom feeling. And it's not necessarily driven by anything in particular. It's just, you know, with the way markets are and the way COVID has changed things, you know, there's always a possibility to get laid off.
Yeah, but Fabian, there's a possibility that I get hit by a bus too. But I can tell you, the amount of time I spend worrying about getting hit by a bus is zero. I just don't. There's a possibility that a hammer could drop out of the sky and knock me on the head if I'm walking around a construction site. You know, I'm being absurd here to make the point that you can only control the controllables. So in this situation, there's little to nothing you can do to control a virus that would take over the world, right? And change the way we do work and life and just grip the whole world and create tons of layoffs. There's nothing you can do about that one, actually. Okay? There's very little you can do about your company's big time decisions that might infect employees. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you get to a point where you go, what should I be thinking about? Well, I should be thinking about my savings account. I should be thinking about my budget, no debt. I should be thinking about things that would allow me to weather storms like this, because you don't know when the storm is coming. You do know that storms are coming. And so we control what we can control, and everything else, we don't worry about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when you're putting the whole, you know, you could get hit by a bus, but you know, the chances of that really are not that big. And I could worry about that, but
That
helps.
Yeah, but let's break that down. You tell me, what would have to be true for me to see an increase, I mean a big increase, in the chances that I get hit by a bus? Tell me what I would have to do to put myself in a situation where, oh, gee whiz, there's a high probability that I'm going to get hit by a bus.
You kind of have to sit out in front of the street or maybe the interstate or something.
Yeah, and then do sprints back and forth trying to time out when the bus is pulling out and when the, you know, like, think about how absurd that example is. But that's exactly what's going on here. You're spending all this time going, gee, what does this statement from the company mean? Or what did that meeting mean? Is that, and this person just left. Did they leave on their own, or did they leave because they were asked to leave? Is that going to happen to me? I mean, you can just go bananas running that scenario out.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I do.
I know. I know. And welcome, by the way, welcome to the human condition. I mean, this is not me beating up on you, but I do want to shake you from the absurd. And
Listen,
there is this thing in our brains. I don't know if you've heard me talk about it. Madison is sick and tired of me talking about the reticular activating system, but it's like my favorite thing I've ever learned. And it's the part of your brain that is like a camera. They know this from neuroscience. Okay? And so, Fabian, here's what it basically says. If we think about something and we begin to focus on it, our brain goes, oh, we're looking for that. So I'm going to go find it. And our brain turns into a camera. Let me give you an example. Fabian, you remember the last time you bought a car?
It's been about 7 years.
Okay, but you remember, right?
Yep.
Do you remember commenting or feeling like you saw that car everywhere 2, 3, 4, 5 days after you bought it?
Yeah.
Now, wait a second, Fabian. Were there more of those cars just magically injected into the highway system?
No, there were not.
So what was happening? you begin to see, you begin to see what you were intently focused on. You're so focused on worry and getting laid off that all you see is evidence that you might get laid off. Start thinking about other things. Start focusing on the right things. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Shining the light on your path to purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. 844-747-2577. Coming to you from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. And we're helping people get clear so that they can get qualified. We're helping people get connected so they can get started. We're helping people get promoted so they can get the dream job. Why? To work like no one else, to truly give themselves away, to make the difference that they were created to make. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-2577. Kevin is joining us in San Antonio, Texas. Kevin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Kevin. What's going on?
So a little bit of background. I am 21 years old, finishing up college in just a couple months here.
Great.
And I'm having some trouble picking between job opportunities in two different states.
Oh, okay. So give me the breakdown.
So my fiance and I are getting married soon, and we are considering working in either Austin, Texas, or in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Due to the nature of her career field, which is politics.
Okay.
Both jobs are doing the same work. The struggle is the Washington, D.C. job. I actually have a full offer from. It's good pay. My concern, I think, is that it's just far away and new, and I've never moved out of, you know, San Antonio, Texas before, so I think there's a little bit of hesitancy there. Whereas my Austin, Texas offer, it's a company I've interned with before. I'm actually completing a second internship with them this summer. But there is no guarantee of a full-time offer. I would say that there's probably a 60 to 80% chance that I would be extended a full-time offer at the end of this summer. And I am needing to make a decision relatively soon between these two companies.
So
why'd you offer?
All right. So why'd you call me?
I guess looking for a little bit of clarity. I'm not sure if there is an aspect of the two jobs that maybe I'm missing. If I am,
are they both the same type of work?
They are the same type of work. They're very similar.
And do they both?
I'm a computer science major.
Okay, great. Do they both put you on the ladder that you want to be climbing?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Well, DC. Let's just do a good old fashioned pros and cons. The pro for the DC job is it's actually a full time offer.
It is, yes, sir.
That makes the con list for Austin.
Yes, it does.
The pro for Austin is it's in your beloved home state of Texas.
Yes.
The con for Washington, D.C. is you're 21 and you've never lived outside of Texas and you're nervous about moving across the country.
Yes, it's that. And I think in addition, I think long-term future, both my fiance and I see ourselves in Texas.
Yeah, but you could, you're 21. You can go in D.C. and get rolling. And especially for her, if she wants to be in politics, a stint in D.C., however long that is not going to hurt her. It's only going to help her if she wants to return to Texas. So
right.
You're asking me to give you a clear winner? Is that what you're asking?
Maybe. I think what I'm really asking is, are there things that I'm not considering in my analysis here? I mean, this is, you know, the first really major job decision I'm having to make.
Yeah, the only thing we haven't discussed is culture and money, you know, but I know the answer. So because the DC job is a full-time job, that money's going to be better in the short term. I already asked the most important question to me, which is the ladder issue. Both of these put you in the career that you want to be in. And when I say ladder, I'm assuming you know what I mean, that you got a chance to grow and keep moving up. So if both give you that opportunity, then it's a wash for me on that issue. The the financial issue, it's clear-cut winner. It's DC in the short term, okay?
Right.
But I go ahead and go, okay, well, what's the discrepancy? What's the difference in the Austin job, and then how long before you'd be able to make that up anyway? Being 21, you know, you can live with four dudes until you get married and cut costs and live on ramen noodles. I'm not worried about that.
Right.
So to me, that's the issue. And then, the money issue. And then the last piece is culture. Do your homework on both companies. And if it comes out that the DC doesn't have the greatest of culture, and you can find that out by just really doing some research online and what people are saying, get enough input that it's not just some squeaky wheel who got fired and they're saying awful things about the company. It's got to be, let's really do our homework. How do they treat vendors? You know, is there a pattern out there on social media or Glassdoor or something like that? Is it a real pattern? If you talk about the amount of time the company's been around and the amount of people they've employed, let's really look. Is this a majority issue? I think culture's the last piece. Try to connect with people who work at these companies. They'll tell you. And that's it. So if the culture is a wash and the latter, the career advancement's a wash, then it comes down to just the money issue, and DC's ahead right now. So I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's the thing I'd be looking at.
Right.
There's a part of me that wants to push you to DC because there's a legit fear, and I'm not in any way minimizing this.
Right.
But there's a legit fear of you getting out of Texas, and I think it's a good thing for young people at your age. I moved away at 23. I was gone, okay? Not on purpose. It's just the opportunity was there. And to me, it was never an issue of, well, I'm going to be away from my parents. I love my parents, but I just think there's something good about you guys having a season of your married life where you're away and you got to plant your roots somewhere else. That's where I would lean, because DC's the winner for me on the compensation for you and for her political career. The DC resume is a no-brainer. So, but I'm not telling you to do that.
Right.
I walked you through everything as what you wanted. So I think it's up to you right now. I don't think this is a right or wrong decision. I think it's going to come down to your heart. And I'm going to tell you what I tell my kids, what I tell everybody that calls this show. At the end of the day, let your brain do the logic part, and then turn your brain off and let your heart do the feeling part. And I'm going to go with the heart every time. So appreciate the call. You got a great future ahead of you. And don't let fear of the unknown hold you back. And many times, folks, this is real. Kevin's lived his whole life in Texas, and he knows San Antonio. He's comfortable. And all of a sudden he goes, Washington, D.C.? I don't know anything about that. It makes me a little bit uncertain. And oh gosh, that uncertainty turns into fear. And then we start coming up with reasons why we shouldn't go to Washington, D.C. And they sound logical, but what they are excuses. See, we can talk ourselves into anything. Well, you know, my parents are starting to get older, and, you know, we want to have kids, and, well, it really would be great if the kids live near them. And it's like, okay, great, you can make that a really good reason, but it's an excuse. See, that's the head. And so what you have to do is identify the thoughts that you're having that are tied to the uncertainty. And folks, listen, you've got to write these things down. Like, here's how you deal with fear. You write it down. I'm afraid of this. Write it down and look at it. Psychology research says, by the way, that when we get something out of our head and we either type it or write it down, and I'm a big fan of writing stuff down and seeing it, and then I can look at that and I go, okay, I'm afraid of being homeless. I'm afraid of losing my job. I'm afraid of financial ruin, whatever it is. I'm afraid of moving across country. Write it down. Now we put it on the witness stand. Put it up there. You've seen your little legal dramas, whatever movie or TV show you need to pull in here, and you put it on the witness stand and you begin to ask questions. Is this true? Whatever the fear is, because sometimes fear is protecting us. In other words, if a kid gets close to a fire and the kid gets scared and pulls away from the fire, fear's telling the kid the truth. You could burn and die. Okay, good, great. We're going to back up. But if fear is saying, if I go do this, we move to DC and it doesn't work, and my life is over, that's a lie. Let's put it on the witness stand, break it down, then focus on the truth. All right, folks, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want to remind you that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Christy Wright Show.
Hey y'all, I'm Christy Wright. You know, it's so easy to feel stuck. You live life just going through the motions, doing dishes, doing laundry, carpool lines, and a whole list of commitments that bring you no joy. We say yes to what everyone expects of us, and we have no energy or time for what we want. And let's be honest, most of the time, we don't even know what we want. Why do we live like that? God certainly never called us to. You know, I believe that the life God has for us is bigger and more amazing than any of us realize. That's why I want you to check out The Christy Wright Show. Every week, we will fire you up to break through what's holding you back and inspire you to create a life you love and are proud of. Each episode will help you build confidence in yourself and the God that created you.
Subscribe to The Christy Wright Show wherever you listen to podcasts.